She opened the closet doors and started thumbing through the clothes I had hanging there, giving little motherly comments. "This one looks great with your brown eyes. This one makes you look nice and muscular." "Mom! This one is too formal. This one is stained. Why is a dirty shirt hanging in your closet? This one is perfect. Now put it on." "Mom, that one is purple. I haven't worn it once since the day Grandma gave it to me. I'll look like Barney." "Oh, Stephen, Barney is purple and green. You will look nothing like him. Plus, this isn't purple. It's eggplant."
"Sure, Mom. Chicks dig a dude who's sporting the latest eggplant turtleneck styles."
I grabbed any old black shirt off of the floor, stalked past my mom as I pulled it on, and went downstairs. Jeffrey was sitting on the couch, looking miserable, but he had enough energy to embarrass me in front of my mom.
"Do you think Renee Albert will dance with you, Stephen? You think she's hot, right?"
"Oh, leave me alone, shrimp boy. Renee Albert has a boyfriend."
"Will you dance with Annette? She's pretty, too. And she knows you're alive."
Where does he get this stuff? "I don't know, Jeffrey. Usually there's a big line of girls waiting to dance with me, so it depends on how soon Annette gets there. There's just not a big enough supply of Stephen Alper around to meet the demand."
"That's a joke, right?"
"Yeah, it's a joke. I'll probably just stand in the corner trying not to be noticed until the decoration committee accidentally packs me into a box at the end of the night. There, I will lie crammed between rolls of crepe paper until the New Year's dance 2 months from now." Jeffrey thought about this for a moment and said,
"Won't they notice the box is too heavy when they go to put it away?"
"Good point, Jeffrey."
"Stephen, put your brother's shoes on, will you? We have to get moving."
"They'll never fit me, Mom."
"Har, har, very funny. Now let's go."
It wasn't until we were all in the car, several blocks away from home, that I realized the random shirt I had put on was last year's middle school band concert shirt. Perfect. It was easier than building and carrying a giant picket sign with the word geek on it, but it achieved the exact same effect. When we pulled up at school, I was pretty distracted, but I did notice that Jeffrey didn't look so great. I came up with a new bargain with God. If you make Jeffrey better, I won't go to this dance. Maybe God knew that right then, staying out of the dance didn't feel like a big sacrifice to me because he didn't instantly cure my brother. I ruffled Jeffrey's hair, told him to be good and not to play too much WWE wrestling live with his fragile mother, took a deep breath, and walked away into my big night. Inside the dance, I found a bunch of my friends standing around in a corner. It suddenly struck me that the two worst social situations in middle school, dances and dodgeball, had a lot in common for guys like me. You go to the gym, stand in a corner as far away from the action as possible, and try not to be seen. Your eyes scan the room for threats, either flying projectiles aimed at your head or girls aimed at mortifying you by getting you out on the floor, and you sweat profusely while standing still. Also, you're wearing clothing that embarrasses you, and you feel like everybody else is better at this game than you are. And in both situations, you desperately hope that some miracle will occur to bring you glory, but you're too scared to attempt to do anything that might actually achieve any recognition. Oh yeah, dances and dodgeball. The two D's of my middle school nightmares. Of course, looking around was fun. Renee Albert was looking incredible in some kind of tight-ish shiny thing, and her little court of supergirls were all dancing together, flipping their hair around, and occasionally stopping to do little fix-up things with their sparkly lip gloss. I remember wondering how I could be so awkward about this stuff, but these girls, raised in the same town as me with basically the same exact social experiences I had, could be so cool. Then Annette came bounding over to me. She was wearing jeans and a shirt like I was, but somehow the fact that we were at a dance made me too aware that she was female, so I felt weird talking with her. Plus, all of my guy friends were standing around, smirking.
"Hi, Stephen."
"Hi, Annette."
"Did you listen to that CD?"
Yeah.
"Did you figure it out?"
I did. And I have a drum lesson with Mr. Stoll tomorrow. I think I'll bring it along so I can work on it with him."
"Okay, make sure you do, because I have big plans for you."
"You do?" She just smiled and walked away. Perfect, I thought. The girl of my dreams has no idea I'm in the room, even though I've sat behind her in every class since first grade, and Annette has big plans for me. I stood around for a while more, listening to my friend's moronic commentary about how Annette wanted to jump on me and make me her band geek love slave, until my night took the final plunge into horror. My mother walked in. I didn't see her at first, and I guess she didn't spot me, so she had to get the DJ to stop the music and announce that Stephen Alper's mother was here to pick him up. Right on the spot, without knowing what exactly was going on, I made God one final offer. Take me. Don't take Jeffy, please, Lord. Take me.